I'm Gab. He's Jules. It's the Gab and Jules Show. It's blue skies over West London.
Yes.
Certainly not over North London, where Nuno Espirito Santo has been relieved of duty at Tottenham Hotspur. We'll be getting into that, but Jules, there's so much else to talk about as well.
Weekend.
Of course, United, part of the reason for it.
Yeah.
They win big. Juventus losing again. Barcelona, first game of the Sergi Barjuan era, which...
Yeah.
Presumably
won't
last very long because Xavi's coming in, not because there's anything wrong with Sergi, or we think Xavi's coming in. Anyway, let's put all that to one side.
Yeah.
And let's start with Nuno, because if you look at the table, they're not in a horrendous position, right?
No.
They're, what, seventh?
Six or seventh,
right? But that's kind of modulated by the fact that they won their first three games.
Yeah.
All of them 1-0, generally not playing particularly well. So if you take that out of it, I think it's something like 6 points in the last eight games, something like
Newcastle
that.
Newcastle and Aston Villa. I can tell you that because I checked before the show.
That's a relegation clip.
Exactly. It's not good enough. And the performances, sometimes you don't get the result that your performances should get you, and you play well. For example, you create a lot and you still don't get, for whatever reasons, a win or a draw. But in this case, the results were not good, or not good enough, certainly, or too inconsistent. But the performances, I think, were even worse than the results. Even against Villa, even at Newcastle, it was just not good enough. So I think when you put those two together, plus the sort of toxic atmosphere that was at the stadium on Saturday, I was there, makes it inevitable that I think they realized that it was the wrong guy, that it just never going to... It would have never worked. I don't see how he could have turned things around now.
Yeah, I think he did good work at Wolves in a certain structure, you know, together with George Mendes, having a certain quality of player that was in there, but also a club that was very settled, generally well-run. Whatever you think of the owners, and as you know, I have serious issues with the way that club is set up. But, you know, it did work well. And he had a bumpy start, and then he got stronger and stronger, and it worked.
Up to the last season, because the last season was already going
on the
down.
Way down, yeah. Here, though, we have all the mitigating circumstances. I mean, we've mentioned them time and again, right? Kane, lack of spending, blah, 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 and so on. Not a very good team to begin with.
Yeah, they're not very good.
But, and maybe it was always going to, he was appointed very late. Maybe it was always going to be difficult for him. He didn't show, though, that he was able to make any kind of difference or move the needle, right?
No, yeah, completely.
Between that and the fans, I think is...
Yeah, and I was at the game on Saturday when the fourth referee put up his board for the substitution straight after halftime of Lucas Moura, the whole stadium just erupted. It was the boos and the whistling and everything. And
they don't like Steven Bergwijn? Was that it?
No, but Lucas was the best player. Lucas was the best player. By that time, he had had the most dribble completed. The most take-ons. I think he even recovered the ball more than any other Spurs player. He created a couple of half chances or good moves or something like that. It was the last player that you should have taken off at that time. And already the atmosphere was a bit iffy. But after that, it changed completely. And then that's where they started singing, "You don't know what you're doing." And then at the end, we won Nuno out. But there's no way back from that. And for him to get that one wrong, I was like, what is he doing? This was completely stupid. Again, you can make good choices and put stuff in place and it doesn't work out for whatever reason and you don't get rewarded for what you've done. But that was crazy. For him to do that, they were 1-0 down at that stage of the game, straight after, literally 7 minutes after the break. I was like, this is crazy. You're asking for the trouble now.
Yeah, look, I don't find him particularly charismatic or likable and whatever. But I think that didn't help. I don't think he was able to form that connection with the fans, give them any kind of sense that they were traveling in the right direction.
True.
There is a deeper frustration here, a much, much deeper frustration. And I think it's going to affect Daniel Levy as well as they now try to figure out who's going to replace him longer term. It's inevitable. Juventus's director of football is Fabio Paratici, who took over in the summer, formerly Juventus.
Mm-hmm.
Paratici, everybody knows, is very tight with Antonio Conte.
Yeah.
Tried to bring him back to Juventus numerous times. Inevitably, that name will be circulating. I have serious reservations about the viability of this.
And why would Conte go now when he didn't want to go in the summer? What would be different for him? For if you're in his shoes, what would make the difference?
That is one of the big questions. There's also the fact that that Conte always said he didn't want to take over teams in mid-season. Yep. There's also the fact that if I'm Conte, I look around and say, you know, there could be bigger jobs coming up than Spurs. No disrespect. Oh, by the way, before we go further on Spurs, Manchester United fans tuning in.
Yes.
We recognize big win, big call in doing what many people had said all along. Cristiano Ronaldo
including
to get the best out of him, including us. He did it. We're going to talk about United in a quick hit. Okay? But well done, Ole. Well done. Now do it again against Atalanta. We'll be getting into all that. Okay? So we're not ignoring you.
We're not ignoring you.
You know, because, you know, the Get Behind Ole Brigade are up in arms again, and they're going to be like, oh, look, Ole just talked negative stuff about Spurs. Nuno just got sacked.
Yeah.
That's bigger news.
You know, I was thinking last night, if Son, nil-nil, has that big chance, you know, after the corner, the ball comes back and he skies it. If he scores that, if Spurs open the scoring, we might be sat here telling a different story.
Yes, and if my aunt had wheels, she'd be a bicycle.
Yeah.
Come on. But let's go back to this because, you know, there is an issue here with the managerial appointments, right? We touched upon Conte. I mean, my impression here, quite clearly, is first of all, and I know the relationship Conte Paratici in Italy, they're already going in overdrive. Oh, look, you know, now Conte might go back. And remember, so Conte and Paratici worked well together. That was at Juventus.
They like each other,
That was in a totally different context.
Completely.
That was some years ago.
Yeah.
If I'm Conte, the first thing I'm thinking is, okay, if I wanted to take the job, like you said, in the summer, when Paratici wheels out Rino Gattuso as his solution to Tottenham's problems, come on, man. That's not a logical outcome at all. So if I'm coach, I'm like, wait a minute, you push Gattuso in the summer and now like...
Exactly.
You know.
And others as well. And I don't know why, what would have changed for Conte now to say, actually, yeah, I mean, you know, this is arguably a much tougher time to go there than it was in the summer where you still had a bit of pre-season left. You could still have said, you know what, let's sell Kane and spend that money to strengthen a squad that needs to be strengthened compared to now. You stuck with those players at least until January, and then good luck in January to sell some out and bring some new in. So I'm like, okay, I think Conte would be great. I want him to come back to Premier League and have another great manager here, of course. But
I think the other,
if I was him.
And the other obvious thing with Conte is that Conte comes in and he lays out the very simple message about ambition, about wanting to be the best at all costs. And that means spending money.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this is why he left Inter. This is why he ended up leaving Chelsea, right? Because he sat there and he says, oh, Roman Abramovich has all this money and he's not spending it on the team. This is why he left Juventus, right? Top player. So I don't fault him for it. And it's not fair either to say that he can only be good when he spends money, because he's been good when he hasn't spent money.
The national team.
I think his finest work. I mean, what he did in those Euros with the least talented Italy side in more than my lifetime in the last half a century, I thought was incredible. So it's not a knock on you, Antonio, at all.
No.
When you go in, you say, well, I'm going to come in on my terms because I am in demand. I've only been out of work for a couple months.
Yeah.
I won the league last time I was there. So I look at this and I say, how does this jibe with Spurs, who took out a government loan to help pay for their stadium, who notoriously generally haven't been big spenders? So to me, there is no natural fit there with him. I'd love to see my man Paulo Fonseca come back, who, lest we forget, was told he was getting the job until they pulled Rino Gattuso out of the hat and be like, Paolo, you just wait. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if Paolo would want that because obviously he's been linked to other jobs. But yeah, Conte, I don't see this, but stranger things have happened. But I think there is a broader issue here with the club and the frustration of Tottenham fans, I think, with the ownership.
Yeah.
And I go back to this. You hinted at it before.
Yeah.
Every time we talk about Spurs ownership, it goes back to Daniel Levy.
Yeah.
Let me remind people, Daniel Levy does not own the club. He's a major shareholder, But the biggest shareholder is somebody else. Somebody who, when we go through the list of super wealthy, greedy owners, never gets mentioned. Even though he's now in his 80s, he's a billionaire many times over. Yep. I don't know how much more money he needs to make. He can't spend it. And that is that man is Joe Louis. Joe Louis, of course, was from London, local boy, self-made man. Yep. And then he decided to go live somewhere else in tax exile so he wouldn't have to spend as much money giving back to the country that gave him the opportunities to go and build a fortune. No, I'm sorry.
True.
It bugs me that this guy never, ever, ever, right? The Glazers are all devils. They're all little Satans, right? But this guy always gets a pass from fans. And it's always Levy.
But because Levy...
Levy's part of it.
But because Levy takes all the decisions. He makes the decision. This is very much his club, although it's owned mostly by Joe Louis. And for me, this whole mess is on Daniel Levy. His inability in the summer to go and close and just sign his first choice manager, whoever that was, Pochettino, whoever. I don't know, but for him to eventually...
No, it wasn't Pochettino.
No, but, you know, to eventually agree to Nuno, whether Paratici pushed him, whether it was Levy himself when he met him, who said, yeah, you know what, this is a good... From the beginning, we said, this is the wrong call. From the beginning, we said, this is never going to work. He gave us a brief. Levy said, okay, he needs to play good football with you, with this, with that. And then they appoint the guy, the complete opposite. But for me, it's on Levy. It's on Levy to have this so rigid, well structured that maybe at the time was right and worth it. But clearly now, if you want to be ambitious and to take this club forwards, this has to change. This lack of investment has to change as well, Gab. There's a point where you can't just say like, let's do it on a cheap, because this team is a cheap team.
I don't know. I mean, look, they spent a lot of money in Ndombele.
Yeah,
they gave Kane an enormous contract.
Yeah, but what
contract.
I mean by cheap is that
they spent a lot of money on Romero.
But spent wrongly. That's what I mean as well by that.
They spent a lot of money on Brian Heal, who I think could have a really bright future.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Lamela was also in that move, so.
What I would question, Lamela, whose contract was winding down and you were never going to sell. But what I would question is the choices that have been made at director of football level, not just by Paratici, who just arrived, but in the time before that. I think the dynamic also, you know, if Daniel Levy were here and he might say, Jules, you say I don't spend money. I spent a ton of money to bring us a manager like Jose Mourinho, right?
Which was the wrong call.
Maybe, but we spent the money. We invested in a manager. We invested in a culture change. All the stuff that Mourinho would bring, it worked great for a while. Then Son and Kane got injured. And then, you know, the screws came out of Mourinho's head, as sometimes happens. And we felt we had to make a change. So now we're making another change. I think objectively, they made some poor signings that didn't work. I think that is a very basic point. Equally, I don't think that the signings are all terrible. I mean, I look at Emerson and Reguilón, they seem like legitimate.
Not Emerson, no. Not Emerson.
You're down on
and
Emerson.
And Reguilón, he picked Ben Davies, who was dreadful ahead of him for the game on Saturday.
No, but Daniel Levy didn't.
No.
But Nuno did.
Yeah.
Maybe he had his reasons. I don't know. I just don't think, I think these are reasonable players.
Bergwijn
is not a game changer. I will give you that.
Yeah.
My main issue, which I don't understand, is midfield. I do not understand who are Tottenham's central midfielders apart from Pierre-Emile Højbjerg, right? You have Skip, who I don't want to pick on, you know, younger kid, although he's not even that young anymore. You know,
not good enough.
Lives up to his last name.
Not good enough.
We've made this stupid joke before, but it's so
true.
When Dyer lives up, plays in midfield, he lives up to his last name.
Dyer,
when Winks obviously lives up to his last name all the time, right? The little Iniesta, what?
Dele Alli, is
Dele Alli, obviously something went wrong there off the pitch, on the pitch, or personal relationships, whatever, but he's obviously lost. Ndombele, you know, this weird relationship with Mourinho, he's in, he's out. He's obviously a very good player who's not used in the right way.
Yeah. The talent,
if you don't have a midfield other than Højbjerg, and by the way, Højbjerg is not the second coming. I'm not suggesting that, but he is the best midfielder that they have, right? It becomes really difficult.
Yeah.
Lo Celso came back. Well, at least Lo Celso can pass. Yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah.
But what state of mind is Lo Celso in?
Exactly.
And then if you don't get the Kane, is obviously unsettled because of what's happened, and Kane can't save you every single game. And obviously neither can Son, although Son probably came closest.
Yeah.
This is really, really messy. I think Paratici knows that it's messy. He says, I need to fix this, but I need clarity here. And they haven't had clarity because they only appointed their manager in so late.
And then you also go back to the Kane situation where all these issues with the squad were there when you could have sold him for a lot of money for someone of his age with dodgy ankles and everything you want and having played 1,000 games in the last 4 years or whatever. And maybe that back then, instead of playing, you know, hard balls and saying like, no, you know, we're not going to open the door. You're going to go when we decide for you to, all of that. Take the money, take the cash, sit down. And I suspect you already have a list of targets that you'd prepare. That's what a scouting team does all through the season. And then you go, okay, we've got that 150 million we can spend on another centre back to play with Romero, because Romero is very good. That's a very good signing. And we saw that on Saturday against Cristiano and Cavani, but not on his own, not with Dier next to him, where you would be even better than Dier. In midfield, rebuild. Up front, obviously finding the guy who comes after Kane, but with that money, you could find him easily. Plus maybe wide players, I don't know, anything. And instead, now you're stuck with Kane, who doesn't want to be there. I looked at him on Saturday and I was like, I like you a lot. And you're in my fantasy team, by the way, sadly. But he doesn't want to be there. As much as he probably loves the club and loves his teammates and loves Son and Lloris and all of that, he doesn't want to be there. You can see it. So then you've got Son trying to do everything on his own because that's all he can do. Lucas, who's really willing to do well. But this is such a mess. It's crazy.
I think the difficulty now, and we'll see, as we record this, they said they're going to make a coaching announcement in due course. Yeah. They have a game on Thursday.
Hey, Ryan Mason. Hello, Ryan. Ryan?
Yeah. We don't know, but it's fine if it's Ryan Mason, whatever, for Thursday. But they're going to have to make a long-term appointment. And I'm just thinking, if I take over this club, and I don't like it when managers come in and, you know, immediately start talking budgets and whatever. And if I own a club, if I make a coaching change, first thing I do is I say to the guy, can you do a better job than my current manager with the players I have here? And then later we'll talk about investment.
Yeah.
But I look at this and it's really bleak because Hugo Lloris isn't getting any younger.
Out of contract in the summer?
And he's out of contract in the summer. Oh, but they have Pierluigi Gollini, of course, right? Yeah. The wrapping goalkeeper. Emerson, I obviously like him more than you like him. But obviously, we still don't know what he can do in the Premier League, right?
30 million, 3-0.
Barcelona, say thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, Romero, fine. Another one. He had a good game upside, but we still don't quite, you know, it's not like you're putting him there as rock solid. Davinson Sanchez, whatever, is what he is. Dier, we've covered.
Yeah.
Again, I think Reguilón is good. But again, that also depends on the type of manager you have because some managers might not like left backs who play like Reguilón.
No, maybe, yeah.
Højbjerg, I think, can do a job for you. The others in the middle of the park, I mean, we're talking like we need to either have somebody who can turn Dele Alli back into what he was 4 years ago or Ndombele back into what he was 2 years ago, or otherwise you need to go and spend some cash. Kane, I like to think, because
what
I believe...
What do you do with Kane now?
I'm a sucker and I believe in fairy tales. I think Kane's going to step up and say, like, you know what? I bleed Lily White. I'm Spurs through and through. I will motivate myself and I'll win something here. And I'm not going to forget this whole psychodrama about, you know, winning as a passenger on somebody else's bus. I'll drive my own bus as far as I can. All right, but that's my illusion.
Only if the guy who comes in now inspires him to that. So, I don't know. It could be anyone. I don't care.
But remember, see how difficult it is to find the right guy.
Yeah, no, of course.
I look at the front three. Fine. Son, okay, whatever. As long as he keeps running, although I'm sure you have the Asian Cup and whatnot. But the rest, Bergwijn's always going to be Bergwijn. Bergwijn's never going to go to another level. Sorry,
no.
Steven.
No,
great player, but I think he'd be the first to accept that.
Yeah.
Lucas Moura is another one. It gives you effort, whatever. Lo Celso, that's a big reclamation project, another one, right? Yeah. I don't know where his head's at. It's a really, really tough sell.
Yeah, it is. It is a tough sell. And it's not... It's
maybe
and
more you're competing
five.
With Newcastle United, by the way,
well, you
for
win.
Managers.
Yeah.
I'm not making a joke here, right? But we don't know. But if I'm a manager... Put it this way.
You could have the two offers on the table from both clubs.
Yeah. And I look at it this way. And this is the thing I think should really worry Spurs fans. If I'm a manager who wants to make a name for himself. So not like a Conte guy, if I'm more like the up-and-coming guy, right? I look at this and say, you know what? I can go to Newcastle. And as you know, neither of us believe Newcastle are going to do a Paris Saint-Germain and spend billions, right? Yeah. But he says, you know what? I can go to Newcastle, get them to spend some money in January, lift the team to mid-table this summer, take a run at Europe next year because we'll have some investment and I'm going to back myself to do that. I have a very defined way to success. The Geordies will love me. I get in the Europa League. Yeah. And then if there isn't more money coming to push for top four, I can jump to a top four club because I will have made my name for myself. If I go to Spurs now, okay, given where they are, what can I do? Yeah. How difficult? It's impossible to get money out of these owners, right?
Yeah.
To go and do that. To get into top four, there's three teams that are head and shoulders of everybody else. We said Liverpool, City, and Chelsea. I've got United in the mix.
Yeah, yeah.
I now have West Ham in fourth. Yeah, yeah. I've got a resurgent Arsenal. I have Leicester of better players.
Yeah.
It's incredibly difficult.
It is.
How do I define success? How do I benchmark success against that? Success is just not slipping further down the table.
Yeah.
That is what makes a situation so serious. I hate to be so negative about such an important club, but it's really, really hard.
It is. It is. It is really hard. You play the Europa Conference League, which really right now is the last thing. I mean, I don't know. Play the under 18s in that. There's
no
point.
What Nuno did in the last game. And they got
they lost to Vitesse. But so even when you think, okay, maybe if you've got the whole week to prepare for the, you don't even have that. You're going to travel Wednesday, travel back in the night Thursday to Friday. But that counts as well, Gab. That counts as well because they don't have the depth in the squad to field two teams, as we saw in the two competitions, and have good success and progress and improvement and all of that. It's just a big mess. There was also a lot of we won't leave it out at the game on Saturday, which, to go back to the point we made earlier, is understandable. So now, good luck. You can't get this one wrong again. It can't happen. Now this disappointment now. Otherwise, then you're going to be in huge trouble, and I'm not talking just, you know, where do we finish between 6 and 8 or 6 and 9 or 5 and 9. We're talking more second half of the table at some point because someone will say, you know what, I'm not staying for this. Can we say, okay, you didn't let me go last summer, but I want to go this summer when Spurs finished 10th. Yeah. And then it's even harder to rebuild from that.
It's a tough situation to be in. And I let this serve as a reminder about how quickly things can unravel. Yeah. Because I remember, well, it wasn't that long ago that Tottenham were in the Champions League final. Yeah. The year before that, I thought they should have won the title. They could have won the title without taking anything away from Leicester. I thought they kind of let it slip through their hands. Things unravel very quickly. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Gab. Just go to Indeed.com/Gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, enough Nuno. How about some quick hits instead?
Let's go, Gab.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer mixes things up for Manchester United away to Spurs, gets a resounding 3-0 win. Jules, 5-3-2, Ronaldo and Cavani together up front. Is it that simple? Is he out of the woods now?
Not completely, of course. There's big games coming up. Atalanta, we said in midweek, and City, of course, the derby next Saturday. He had to do something. He had to try something different, to change something. Defensively, they were leaking goals, 4 against Leicester, 5 against Liverpool. That back four and the protection that should have got in midfield was not there anyway. So it's a no-brainer that you go back 5. Varane was fit again, so you bring him in. I thought he brought a lot to Maguire, who was still a bit all over the place at times. And Lindelof, you've got Shaw and Wan-Bissaka. Okay, Wan-Bissaka with the ball. It's still catastrophic, but at least it's more solid.
I wouldn't call it a no-brainer because I still think it took a little bit of guts because
no,
because if they go a goal down in this game, with those people there, I'm sorry, but like the five defenders and the two midfielders, right? You get the biggest attacking output you're going to get is from Luke Shaw, and let me remind you, it's Luke Shaw.
Yeah, yeah.
And then other than that, it's just Bruno, and then you got the two strikers, right?
Yeah.
And you're putting the whole world on Bruno's shoulders. And then had they gone a goal down, he would then would have gone and sent on the entire cavalry, Greenwood, Rashford, whatever.
But then you can change. You can change. You take Lindelof off and you bring Greenwood or Rashford on. And
I know that I thought he tried something different when he did out of desperation. It worked. The one thing I thought was interesting was all season long we've said if you want to get the best out of Cristiano, please don't put him on the wing.
Put him on his own up front.
Yeah. Put him with somebody. That is how you get the best out of it. I think we saw that. The goal that was disallowed, the way he strikes that ball is just incredible. And we just pause for a moment to recognize that this man is incredibly good at playing the game of football.
Yes,
can we also recognize that Cavani, in terms of work rate and effort, he may be old, maybe he can't do it 90 minutes every week, but he has so much energy and so much intelligence, and he's so humble working with Cristiano, working for Cristiano.
But it's not just that. It's that the second striker with Cristiano also is a problem for your two centre-backs. It's as simple as that. If Cristiano is on his own up front, you two centre-backs, Dier and Romero or whoever you want, would be like, okay, there's 2v1. But now with Cavani, and that's how he scores the goals. And Ben Davies made a mistake. That's how it is. Juventus lost in midweek, as we said in the last show against Sassuolo. They lost again, Gab, this weekend to Hellas Verona and El Cholito as well. Is the pressure mounting now on our friend Max Allegri?
First off, 6 goals in 2 games for Giovanni Simeone. Just saying.
I think he scored 8 in the whole of last season or something.
The pressure is definitely mounting. It's Max Allegri who's putting on the pressure himself. Now the team are going to go into a ritiro.
Yeah, I love that for the whole week.
Old school stuff. The last time Juventus did it, apparently,
2015.
Was in 2015. Yeah. For those who don't know, it's this, rather archaic thing that they used to do in Italy a long time ago, and which sometimes bad teams still do. It's like, we need to focus. They sequester the whole team in a hotel or at a training ground or at a hotel at the training ground, if they have one. And all they do is train and just sit among themselves.
Yeah. Can't go home, can't see the family, nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's like serious, like monk-like behavior. I never thought I would see this happen from, with Allegri. I'm really, really surprised. He thinks it's necessary. Look, they're paying the price for a lot of mistakes that were made earlier. I think he thought he could coach his way out of it.
I think he was very pretentious in the way he approached the whole season, I think.
Yeah, and to be credit to him, not coach his way out of it. Oh, I'll go and do the things I did at Juventus 5 years ago. He's not stupid. He knows it's not going to work. He thought he was going to go and teach his players, be more progressive, be more attacking. Against Sassuolo, I thought they played okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Against Verona, it's tough, you're 2 goals down. But Verona outplayed them most of the game.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have mattered, Dybala hitting the woodwork, none of that would have mattered.
No.
It still would have been an atrocious performance.
Definitely.
Credit to him, he puts the performance first ahead of the result. And he takes action. I don't know where they go out of this. They've made a huge financial commitment to Allegri.
Yeah.
I think they're going to necessarily give him time.
Yeah.
But it looks like a long, long road back at this stage.
And again, like against Sassuolo, they go a goal down. And then
2 goals down. 2 inside 15 minutes.
But then they can't react to it, really. It's the worst defensive record at the moment for this season since 1961, 62, or 62, 63. They keep conceding goals. At least the one thing I thought he could do was fixing that. He can't even fix that either.
Well, and you might also add, if you're unkind, they have the highest paid defender, maybe even the highest paid player in Serie A. And he's a center back, and he's not starting
in many big
games.
No.
Barcelona begin the post-Koeman era with a 1-1 draw against Alaves. Jules, Sergi's Barca looks a lot like Koeman's Barca, but I guess that's understandable, yeah?
It is understandable with the players that he has. I mean, he's taken 2 training sessions, I think it was, before the game.
There's nothing you can do with the lineup either. Everybody's injured.
Exactly.
His only decision is, do I start Coutinho or not?
I think Dembele is back now training, and he might be in contention for the Champions League game in midweek. Huge game, by the way, away in Kiev. But we didn't expect any magic from Sergi either. So let's see now what happens with Xavi. And that's our next question.
And shout out, by the way, to Pique and Aguero. Pique's injured.
Yeah.
Aguero, especially.
Aguero,
scary stuff.
Yeah,
he was in hospital.
Yeah.
Cardiac issues.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, Xavi led Al Saad, his team, to a 4-1 victory over Al Ahly, Gab. What is he waiting for? Why is this one?
Yeah, I wonder the same thing. All those clever people like, oh, no, why are you being so hard on Barcelona? Everything's squared away with Xavi. He's definitely coming. Yeah, we keep saying that, right? People even said, oh, well, but he's got a clause. He can walk away at any time. Maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't want to. I think they have one more game left.
Yeah, that's it.
And then they have a long break until, I think, the end of December. Maybe that's what he's waiting for. I don't know. I would like a little more clarity. It wouldn't take much for him to say, or for Barcelona to say, hey, I'm going to finish my obligation the first half of the season with outside, and then I'm coming. These are the things that make me nervous.
I know.
Lionel Messi spoke out in a long interview with Catalan Daily Sport today. Jules, he said he was never asked to play for free.
Yeah.
And it kind of bugged him that, in fact, he used the word that Barcelona president John Laporta was out of line when Laporta said, oh, I thought Messi would offer to play for free.
And remember, that's exactly, that was our reaction. We was like, really? Did he really say that? And I know there's a context around it in the way that Laporta said it at the time. But if you're Messi, you've got the hums, you know, I think. And rightly so. And this is a long interview. There's a lot of good things in it. But clearly that jumps out of when you read it, because he was like, really?
You know, look.
Come on, Laporta. We said this is not the Care Bear world.
Yeah, so Laporta obviously foolish to have to essentially have a go at Messi or give something
exactly.
Messi could go and point this out, because it just hurts Laporta and it hurts Barcelona. Equally though, I just imagine these two guys sitting across a table from each other and they're saying, how are we going to square the books? And Messi be like, all right, if you ask me to pay for free, he's thinking in his mind,
exactly.
If you ask me to pay
go
for free,
on,
I'll
go
do
and
it.
Ask.
And then
go
the
on.
Other one saying, ooh, I expect him to offer to pay. Come on, man, what are we, children?
Exactly.
There's something bigger than you both. It's called Barcelona.
Exactly. Exactly. While Steph in the internal city on Sunday gabs at an Ibrahimovic scores a free kick and wins a penalty. The free kick, by the way, is 400th professional goal, 22 years after his first one for Malmo. And Jose Mourinho, that is the question after the game, complains about a lack of respect for his team. He was not impressed with the penalty that was given.
Yeah, he was not impressed with several ones. They had a penalty possibly shot on Felix.
And Ibra has a goal ruled out by offside, by the way, by VAR for offside, which was the right call.
Milan had two goals actually ruled out for offside. The Ibrahimovic penalty, you can rewatch this a million times and get a million different opinions. I have no problem. I thought it was.
But why did he go? Why is Ibanez going so strong like this? It's just crazy.
He's trying to win the ball. He's going to lose it. If he doesn't go strong, he's just going to bounce off of Ibra. Ibra's a giant cyborg.
But still, don't barge into him like that, even if after you take the ball. It's a pen. It's a clear pen.
Yeah, I think the other one which really got him was at the end with Pellegrini and Simon Kjær. I thought Roma had a legitimate shot there.
Yep.
It doesn't change the fact that, you know, Roma played poorly. They don't think they had a shot on target.
They started well.
First shot on target halfway through the second half. Tammy Abraham had a rough day. Mourinho made a big deal out of, I'm not going to talk to the press because I want to be there next week. I don't want to be banned. But you're all Roma. And so he left without taking questions and not after saying Roma deserves more respect. Really bugs me this term respect. It's not just, I'm just having to go Mourinho here. Mourinho fans, everybody uses.
Yeah.
You don't. Referees do the best job they can. Some of them suck. Some of them are good. Some of them might be...
Even good ones make mistakes. You know,
some of them might be bad referees. Some of them may be biased referees. But it's not a question of respect. What are you saying by respect?
Mm.
Respect means what? It means that I'm a bigger team with more fans, and so therefore I should get more marginal calls. What does that mean? I didn't like that. Roma have a ton of character.
Yeah.
And that is a credit to Mourinho. Beyond that, they're certainly not yet where he wants them to be.
And you saw the difference with Milan, who were very good, especially until the right.
And Milan, who, by the way, also have 8 to 10 guys out.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, Jules, more quick hits.
Yes.
Liverpool go 2-0 up at home to Brighton, only to get pegged back to 2-2. Jules, once upon a time, it was a cardinal sin to let a two-goal lead slip at home.
You know, the joke is that 2-0 is the most dangerous score in football, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's just stupid.
It is stupid. And in fairness to Liverpool, they were close to 3-0, to be 3-0 up. They had a goal disallowed, and rightly so as well. But then you always had the feeling that Brighton was always in that game. Even at 2-0 down, you know, Brighton played well, even if they conceded those two kind of early goals. And then Mwepu with a fantastic goal.
Yeah, I think there is a fundamental issue here, which you touched upon it before. Liverpool had a major issue in midfield. Naby Keita going out as well. You have to play Fabinho. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, who doesn't really belong there. No, there's no Fabinho. There's That's no Thiago Alcantara. There's no Harvey Elliott, obviously. They're seriously undermanned. And in other games, they got away with it because, you know, the attackers and the defenders were superhuman. Here they weren't. Brighton were very good. Klopp talked about after the game. I don't know how you can fix this between now and January, but somebody's got to come back and stay fit.
Yeah, you need Fabinho back. And Brighton, especially the way they move the ball in midfield, but up front everywhere, could have easily won that game too.
Maybe Matip in midfield. He's played there before many years ago for Schalke.
Maybe. Manchester City do even worse, Gab, than Liverpool. They concede an early goal to our boy Patrick Vieira's Crystal Palace, Wilfried Zaha, and then Emerick Laporte gets sent off as well just before the break, and they lose 2-0.
Yeah.
One of those days, isn't it?
Partly it's one of those days, but Ruben Dias, by the way, I think had his worst game ever in a City shirt. And I just say, because Ruben Dias sets the bar that
high.
De Bruyne wasn't great either. Yeah. They did have that goal disallowed, which I thought was very, very close.
Yeah.
And then the second one was in garbage time. But look, I want to give credit to Palace. Palace played really well. The way I never thought Patrick Vieira could do it so quickly with so little investment. Really well done. To Palace.
And Conor Gallagher, what a performance.
You got to be careful, though, because something goes wrong for City in the derby. All of a sudden, they're 5 points back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm. Your boy Karim Benzema gets a day off as Real Madrid beat 2-1. Jules, what did you think of Mariano Diaz's Benzema impersonation?
For Elche, that's fine. I like Mariano Diaz. Obviously, when he came to France, he was good at Lyon. He's not Karim Benzema. He's not Karim the Dream. But it's okay for a game like this. He gave an assist. Vinicius was the star of the game. And shows again, I think, how much he's improved, how much Vinicius has improved. But Mariano will always be
well,
Mariano.
But for me, the defining Mariano Diaz. I don't want to be like him. He played well.
Yeah,
at the very end, on the counterattack, he's got Eden Hazard's like sprinting up the pitch. He's wide open. He's obviously ran out of gas. Mariano Diaz just shoots from like 30 yards out. He screws his shot. I think it went out for a throw-in. It was one of the most horrible things you've seen. But whatever. Well done, Mariano.
Another two goals for Robert Lewandowski and a piece of skill at some point on the edge of the box that was just breathtaking as Bayern traveled to Berlin and beat up Union 5-2, Gab. This was an important win, especially after that cup crushing.
Especially after the 5-0. Especially after they go 3-0 up in the first half and you figure, all right, this is easy. And then Union, they just keep going. Yeah. The game gets physical, goes to 3-1. Then it goes to 4-2. I thought this was important. My concern, though, Corentin Tolisso, midfield.
That's why he's out in the summer.
It takes Chelsea a while to get going away to Newcastle, but they eventually win 3-0. Reece James scores two goals. Jones, they don't really need Lukaku, Pulisic, Werner, those other attacking guys. This kid can do everything.
And we told you from the beginning, from day one on this show, we said he can play pretty much anywhere on the pitch apart from goalkeeper. And even that, you would not put it past him. And it's great. And if you're not convinced still, look at the two goals he scored. The first one on his left foot is fantastic. The second one on his right foot, quite similar in a way, similar-ish, is great. And like Tuchel said, maybe Lukaku should play a wing back to score more goals. I don't know. Napoli win again. No Osimhen, no Insigne. And a tough local derby against Salernitana and my boy Frank Ribery. But they pull out a victory. Gab, you were expecting Spalletti to be that good.
No, he's just in the job. But we make excuses. It's a new job. He's in the job. He's playing completely differently from the way Gattuso played. Yeah. They're absolutely flying. Salernitana aren't great, but Insigne and Osimhen are important players.
Yeah,
they stuck
it was
in
physical,
there. He
it
had
was
the
tough.
Guts to. When the game got really physical, he sent on the tank, Petagna, who's, you know, like the size and shape of a building. Yeah. And they pulled this one out. They gutted it out despite Koulibaly getting sent off. Well done.
Yeah.
Big away win for West Ham and Davy Moyes, Jules. 4-1 against Villa and they're fourth in the table. Is it time for Hammers to start believing?
I think it is. Why not? Go for it. I didn't think, and I put my hands up, that at the start of the season that they could do Europa League so well and the Premier League so well, but they're doing it in both competitions so far. Declan Rice is stepping up and taking his own game to the next level, and that's great. I still don't know what happened if Antonio get injured seriously or if there's a problem there or whatever. I think there's still a few key positions where they're a bit light on. But well done. Well done
and
to them.
Don't even mention him.
Just call him Angelo.
Just wait. Just brush his cheek before you leave.
You have to send him this.
Come on, man. He's avenging Angelo.
Arsenal win again 2-0 away to Leicester. Gab, this Lacazette Aubameyang partnership is pretty neat. And Aaron Ramsdale is stopping everything that comes into his sight.
All right, 2 wins in a row for Arsenal. We said, oh, look, they're so great against Villa.
4-2 again. 4-2, like God intended.
Like God intended, yeah. Except Lacazette is out of the contract in the season. I know, not getting any ladder.
That's one to think about later.
No, I thought they played really, really well for like, what, 50, 55 minutes?
Yeah.
And then at the end, you cannot concede so many. Aaron Ramsdale, fantastic. Oh, incredible, look.
He's the angel. He's the real angel.
Well, when Ramsdale's got to make that many saves, course, I know that's course, a good
of
side.
Course, of
it
course.
Means stuff's not
you
working.
Take it for now. You take it for now.
Yeah, but what does this mean? Did we extend Lacazette? I don't know. So many questions. Yeah. Jules, we're going to get to the next quick hit in a minute, but I think we should spend a little more time on Villa because you saw that giant next to him. I didn't know who he was. The giant next to Dean. Dean Smith is not a tall, small man. He's not, he's like, by the way, he must be like, what, 6'1", 6'2"?
Yeah, something like that.
And then there's like this behemoth behind him. He looks like a professional wrestler. The guy looks, I thought, is this Dean Smith's personal bodyguard?
Yeah, I thought so too when I saw him at Arsenal because I was close to their bench when I was at Arsenal for the game again there.
And you were distracted by his really tight...
He's got tight trousers and I was like, oh my, all the muscles and everything is like bulging out and all of that. And now we know who the guy is.
Yes, man, shout out to Neil Cutler. He's the goalkeeping coach. Neil. Still very fit, very badass at this stage of his career.
Done.
So I'm impressed with him. Speaking of badasses, how about Diego Pablo Simeone?
Oh, yeah.
Who wasn't there for Atletico Madrid.
Still in the stands.
He was in the stands when they played Betis. This was a game where Betis, 3 wins in a row, looked like they were
fifth in the table, yeah.
No Nabi Fekir for Betis, which was a disappointment.
I know, it was disappointing.
But they won. Griezmann and Correa behind Luis Suarez, they look good.
I thought that this was maybe Atleti's best performance. Certainly in terms of consistency for the whole 90 minutes. Betis were good. Betis are playing side, which I think helps them massively compared to a team that would defend the whole time, for example.
Yeah, but Atleti didn't just sit back and defend.
No, they took the ball. They took the ball, kept it well, even if I think at the end the possession is still 50-50 or something like that, but created loads of chances, scored some really good goals. João Félix came on, scored a great goal too. Carrasco was fantastic. It was really, really good. And under the rain, and El Cholo saying, oh, we got Griezmann back. The real Griezmann is back now. And he could have scored, should have scored maybe, had a really good game. So I think this is boding well, I think, for Atletico.
I like this 3-4-2-1 setup. If they can pull this off, I think it puts a little bit, De Paul was alongside Koke. I think it puts a slight strain on him. He's not going to get forward as much.
Yeah.
But this is pretty neat when it works. You can actually put your talented players on the pitch.
The best was Cholo in the stands. Even at 2-0 up, when João Félix scores the goal and he sees on his TV and he shouts because we can all see that he's onside. And we said, chill out, you're 2-0 up already. There's like 15 minutes to go. But no, that's the energy forever. Inter keep pace with the leaders in Serie A with 2 goals for Tuku. Joaquin Correa back from injury. Gab, he seems to pop up at the right time. The first goal especially was pretty good.
Yeah, look, he's a very, very skillful player. I can't.
Very handy,
I can't quite figure this out because he's got good sides. He's very technical. He's a bit anarchic, possibly.
Yeah.
And he's very up and down.
Yeah, it's that consistency.
Look, all you want. I thought Inter played well in this game. I said it was important for them. Udinese, I think, a tough out. And they got the 3 points. And, right now, they're the old, if they hadn't gotten this, Napoli and Milan would have been out of sight. So I think I think this was pretty big.
Yeah.
It wasn't straightforward, but Sevilla got all 3 points in a 2-0 win over Osasuna. Jules, your thoughts?
You're right. It was not straightforward at all. We saw Osasuna against Real Madrid and that 0-0 in midweek. They're hard to play against at the time.
Meaning what? They're super defensive and pack the box and you got to come up with something.
No, but I'm glad for Lucas Ocampos because he hadn't scored this season. And I think this is a very important goal for him, the second one as well, to maybe kickstart his season. I think they need him to be the Ocampos that he was last season, but certainly the one before that. And hopefully not too much because they play Lille in midweek and I don't want Ocampos to be too good and Sevilla to be too good. But certainly I thought this is the wins that count a lot, I think, in a season.
You want a fun Lucas Ocampos fact?
Yeah.
Well, as you know, when Lucas Ocampos was just coming up, he was hailed as the next Cristiano Ronaldo.
Was, of course, yeah.
And he was bought by Monaco. Yeah, you know who did the deal?
No.
our boy Tor Christian Carlsen, who at the time
amazing.
Was
yeah,
the chief executive or director of football
TK.
At Monaco.
Yeah, of course, that was
TK.
His time. Yeah.
There you go.
Indeed. Borussia Dortmund get a much-needed win over Cologne to stay a single point behind Bayern. Gab, they didn't play well, though. Does that matter?
Okay.
No Haaland, of course.
No, there's like 15 people out. I mean, seriously, you see this lineup, right? Tigges scored.
I mean, I was like, who? What?
Tigges sounds like somebody who belongs at Pooh Corner, right? Like Tigger? I know he's obviously played before, whatever. But surely, when you see Tigges and Pongracic on the pitch, you know it's threat level midnight, right?
Yeah,
you're in code red. Donny Malen played and didn't score, but that's okay. We're kind of used to it.
Yeah,
and also the first goal that broke the ice. Torgan Hazard's header. It's funny because the commentator's like, oh, brilliant header. And then you see, like, he misses the ball entirely. Like, comes off his shoulder. He has no idea.
They needed a bit of luck. They didn't have much
luck.
They
were due some luck. Exactly. I said, I'm withholding judgment on Marco Rose until the guys come back and they play properly and we see what he wants to do.
Yeah, I agree.
Leipzig drop another 2 points as Eintracht Frankfurt grab a late equalizer. Yeah. Jules, is this Jesse Marsh being unlucky?
I know. Yeah, of course, because they missed a lot of chances. Emil Forsberg should have scored. And they concede late like that. They do. But how many times, Gab, on our show, have we been there and said, oh, Jesse Marsh, unlucky. Oh, they dropped more points late. They're against PSG in the Champions League, for example. In this game, so many games before, this was their chance to go back into the top four as well. And they can't even see out the game. They can't control the end of that game. I think there's a real issue in this team in terms of balance, in terms of mental strength, to be able to keep a lead.
What I would love to know, and Jesse, if you're watching, even though you went to
Princeton, should get him on the show, to be fair.
Yeah, you please. I'd love to understand this, right? Because the knee-jerk reaction from people is like, oh, look, he's doing the same things he was doing at Salzburg. That works in Austria because you've got better players than anybody else. In the Bundesliga, where even the bad teams have more technical players than the bad teams in Austria, you can't do that. You get punished. You're being naive. You're not building off of what Nagelsmann did, which is one way to look at it. But then you can look at it and say, oh, look, you lost Sabitzer. You lost Upamecano. He gets this, but equally, he has to make his own adjustments. And he has to, it's going to take him time to do it. And I think he knows that they can't play the way Salzburg did. I don't even think he's trying to play the way Salzburg did. But it's a difficult integration period,
I think.
It
is really tougher than we thought, I think, and time it would take.
And what I would love to know, though, is what is his vision of football? And is it a case that maybe it's not what we're seeing, it's just that it takes more time to teach what he wants to do?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe. One game between Atalanta and Lazio, it finishes 2-2. Atalanta come from behind twice before scoring an injury time equalizer with Martin de Roon, who played at the back again because they've got a ton of injuries, and Pepe Reina is hit by a coin as well, which we don't like to see.
Yeah, Mrs. Pepe Reina, like, put out, but Pepe Reina has a nice bald head.
Yeah, and very neat. Yeah,
she put out on Instagram, she took a picture of his head, and like, there's a big dent. Now, Pepe Reina is also a tough guy. He's a legend. We like him.
Yeah, we like him a lot.
Apparently, he was hit during the warm-up. And then he was hit again later in the game, very, very obviously. Now, I remember many years ago, you got hit by a coin. Your fans hit somebody with a coin.
Yeah.
You forfeit the game.
Yeah, you report.
I don't know if it's going to come to this or if they're like, oh, no, Atalanta immediately saying, we'll find out who's responsible. It's great. You find out who's responsible.
There should be video as well.
Oh, no, there is, because especially the stadium's been redone. Yeah, they're pretty good about this.
True.
Personally, I think they should forfeit this game. There's no reason. You know, he got hit before the game. He had to play with it. He didn't make a big fuss out of it because, like I said, he's a tough guy. But still, nobody should be put up with this. Freiburg up to third in the Bundesliga after beating Greuther Fürth. Jules, this is something I never thought I would say on the show.
No, never. Well done, Christian Streich, to start with.
And it's always about Christian Streich when it's
Freiburg. I know he's been there for 100
years.
It's
like years.
There's nobody else. Yeah. It's an anomaly because I can't even tell you exactly what the identity is, what the idea is. But listen, they're very strong. They're very hard to beat. They
beat the worst team in the Bundesliga.
True, but then they play Bayern next weekend. So I think the whole fairy tale start of the season can end up next weekend.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
I know.
Incredible. It was a very entertaining Basque derby, which ended in a heartbreak for La Real Sociedad against 10-man Bilbao. They gave up a left free kick and Iker Muniain scored with a big mistake by Ramiro in goal, former Athletic Bilbao goalkeeper as well. Gab, these drop points add up at the end of the season, don't they? Even if now they're still top of La Liga.
They do, but they would have been 3 points clear over Real Madrid of the game in hand. Obviously they're still playing without Oyarzabal. It's not easy. It's a derby. But I think the frustration is you had the extra man. If you have an extra man, you don't normally need to concede a foul. And Muniain.
Why is Ramiro, why is he punching the ball that way?
I have no idea. I have no idea why you would go that way. He basically put it in his own net. He didn't play the game before, incidentally. You wonder about the change there. Hopefully this doesn't take the wind out of their sails because we like them and they're a great story.
Yeah.
Le Parisien says Paris Saint-Germain are considering canceling Sergio Ramos's contract due to his persistent injury issues. Jules, is this really a possibility?
So I love Le Parisien, obviously my former newspaper. I used to work for them for so long. I love them. And I love PSG, as you know, obviously my club. And this amazing shirt, 1999 season.
Notice you don't say you love Sergio Ramos too.
This is not, again, we go back to the Care Bear world. In what world can you just cancel the contract of a player that you've just recruited because you think that he should be fit by now or is injured too much? I don't know how. So you probably know better than me.
Yeah. So legally, okay. So there's two ways to do this. Okay. And
well, you pay him off the rest of his contract.
No. I didn't read Le Parisien. I read the article about what Le Parisien said.
Yeah.
So maybe I don't know if you can shed more light on this. But there are two ways that you can cancel somebody's contract, right? You either do it because if he's physically unable to perform for a period of 6 months due to injury, you have the option of canceling the remainder of his contract, depending on how the contract is written. You know, there's other legal issues. It is a pretty adversarial thing to do because it's not very nice, right? But if they were to argue that, look, he arrived injured, he never got fit, 6 months have passed, we gave it a go,
he had a medical. You saw him. They knew about the calf issues and
right,
the knees.
But he still didn't get fit, and sometimes it happened. And if you can, so that is one option. It's very adversarial. It's very rarely taken. Yeah. Normally, you go to mutual consent. You say, Sergio, guys, it's not really working out here. How about we pay you till the end of the season? You're free to go. You can find another club. You can retire. Even if you get back fit, the other guys are doing well. Marquinhos, Kimpembe, Danilo, thank you. Goodbye. And then maybe Sergio Ramos is like,
I still think this is a long shot.
Sergio Ramos says, you know what? I don't like it here. Ander Herrera creeps around the Bois de Boulogne. It makes me unsettled. The Icardi, I don't even want to get into. This club is a bit of a zoo. I want to go back to Sevilla. I want to play for Lopetegui and
finish my career there. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he'll do that.
I read the article. I like Sergio Ramos. I want him to play for PSG one day. I think the story was good. The idea was good. I would have kept Thiago Silva every day, but still. But yeah, I still think this is a long shot. Dusan Vlahovic grabs a hat trick as Fiorentina beat Spezia 3-0. Gab, we've said it before, all along, he's the real deal and he's not going to stick around, is it?
No.
Unfortunately for our friend Rocco Commisso.
Every time they try to sit down and try to work out a deal, it's like his agent asks for more and more and more. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, we want this much money. We want a release clause here. We want 10% of a future sale. We want this. We want that. And I think Fiorentina is keeping a hard line. And, you know, he does have a whole other year after this.
Yeah.
You know, which means that from their perspective, hey, and he's making very little money now.
Yeah.
So from their perspective, it's like, all right, you're going to continue to perform. You have to perform for us if you want to get your big move. So, you know, we're willing to take this. I'd like to see more clubs take this harder line stance. But when you talk about center forwards, okay, let's leave Haaland to one side because he's Haaland, right?
Yeah.
But if I were to ask you, center forwards under the age of 22 or whatever, it's him, it's Adeyemi.
Yeah.
There's not too many others. Is there somebody I'm forgetting?
No. I mean, we could always, you know, look a bit deeper into it. But yeah.
And Adeyemi's still, what is he, 18?
He's even younger.
But,
It's just, wow, incredible.
Jules, you love your techers. Tell me about Wahbi Khazri scoring from inside his own half.
Oh my God, Gab. This is already the goal of the season. All leagues completed, all age groups, all everything you want. 68 meters. I don't know how it is in your weird yards, but 68 meters is a long way. Trust me. It's a very long way. Inside his half, way inside as well. Just fantastic. Right. I mean, he's a great, this is the kind of player he is. He's not the fittest. You could tell.
He could just kick the ball very hard, very
but
far.
He's great at free kick. He has those inspiration. And thankfully for Saint-Etienne, he's there, because otherwise they'd probably be already in Ligue 2. In 1925, a Plymouth Argyle star named Jack Leslie was picked up to play for England, but he never got onto the pitch. Now he's getting a statue. Gab, can you tell us the story, please?
I wasn't around in 1925, but according to reports, and sometimes these get kind of romanticized over the years. So Jack Leslie, who was a person of color, was picked to play for England. Yeah. And then afterwards, the England are like, oh, look, he's a black fellow. And so he doesn't get on the pitch. And
they just forget
about it. It gets rescinded. Yeah. That is the story. I have no idea to what degree it's true or whatever. But this guy was a great player. It was a crowdfunding exercise from Argyle fans. I think it's absolutely fantastic. He's getting a statue. It's great that we remember these people from the past, I think. All right, Jules, we got to come back on Thursday. You're going to be there?
Champions League.
Here we go. Big verdicts.
More
we
drama.
Might even know who Spurs' next manager
is. You or me, maybe.
Who knows? Until then, love the game. Love your neighbor. Love yourself.